Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
No one with land should be without a job. Jessica Barkheimer in Ohio apparently said this first. I came across it recently when Gene Logsdon wrote about it at organictobe.org. With unemployment up near 10% and climbing, it's almost a revolutionary claim. No one with land should be without a job. Gene Logsdon continues, "If you have some land, even an acre, you have the means for making at least part of your income, and in the process, gain a more secure life. Surely that is what it means to have a job. Our society hasn't endorsed that notion yet, but I think we are evolving toward that kind of economy." Logsdon describes many small agricultural ventures a person can engage in on a small piece of land, from lima beans to milk and dairy products from a dwarf Nigerian goat. He also points to valuable products available from land that doesn't look like typical farmland: cattail pollen and reeds for basket making from wetlands, fish culture in ponds, and forest products from woodlands. Logsdon concludes, "We all accept the fact that most of us must invest in a car to keep our jobs. I think the day will come when most of us will also invest in a few acres of land to keep our jobs." Barkheimer and Logsdon are onto something, and I think it can be expanded even further. No one with access to land is without a job. After all, you don't need to own land to harvest apples and other fruit from roadside trees. You can venture beyond the roadside, too, onto people's land, preferably with their permission. Many landowners have more fruit harvests than they care to pick up. You can do them a service by offering to pick up their fruit and haul it away. Then you can eat it yourself, sell it raw, make it into jams or another value-added product, or even make hard cider out of apples and other fruits. When you make hard cider, you've crossed a threshold into a product that requires federal approval to sell. If you barter it with your neighbors, however, you're unlikely to have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms SWAT team in your backyard anytime soon. Other agricultural practices are open to people without land. As with apples, the trick is to find land that the owners would prefer not to manage. Turn other people's lawns into gardens, for example. There's a whole school of urban agriculture built around renting lawns and growing food for the farmers' market. Often the rent is no more than a share of the harvest. It's modern-day sharecropping. Graziers, people who raise grass-eating animals, also raise their animals on other people's land. Sometimes the only thing the graziers exchange is a service of grazing the land. The landowners want the land to be open, and they don't want to pay for brush hogging, so they let someone with cows or goats or sheep keep it open. Guerrilla gardening is another opportunity. On public land, some people plant wild edibles or more domesticated plants and come back to harvest them later, with a minimum of tending. It's risky. Drought, deer, or other harvesters might get to them first, but the investment can be small. Some people make up seed balls with seeds and wet clay and bicycle around, tossing them into likely growing areas. If you have a place to live, you have room to grow red wriggler worms on food waste, raise mealworms for chickens, and maybe even raise a small number of rabbits or chickens. The Great Depression was known as a time of poverty amidst plenty. Some people have argued that we're entering a period of poverty amid little, with natural resources like oil greatly depleted from where they were 80 years ago. But there's still plenty of land and, in most places, rain and sunshine. With a little ingenuity, people can create jobs for themselves out of nearby land and their own work. Most of these jobs won't pay a whole lot. Some of them may not produce more than the worker's family would consume themselves. Still, one of the purposes of a job is to put food on the table. If a job puts food on the table directly, rather than providing money to buy food from someone else, does that make it any less a job? And the food could easily be tastier than what's available in stores anyway. I'm Carl Etnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.